Hi everyone, it's Connell here. Before this episode of the CineCub podcast starts, we would like to issue a trigger warning for mentions of suicide. Listener discretion is advised, but please do enjoy as per normal.
Hello and welcome back to the CineCub podcast. I'm Matthew.
I'm Connell.
I'm Jake.
And I'm Bebe. This week we're going to be talking about two horror films which have something in common. They both revolve around very unsettling and outright haunted television broadcasts.
Ooh. The first film that we're going to be talking about is Ghost Watch, featuring the late, great Michael Parkinson. What does everyone think about it?
I think it is so perfectly executed. It is It is just exactly what it should be.
Yeah. Yep, we're all on the same page about that. Right, moving on. Anyway.
My favorite horror film, I think.
Yeah, nice. I mean,
so good.
I really did think you were being like quite, you know, that, I thought that was hyperbole when you were talking about it at the time. And then I watched it.
Yeah.
Even my, like, I watched it with my dad and he'd never heard of it somehow. I really don't know. And this was like the sort of defining experience. Like, I already loved the film, but I loved it even more because of the experience of watching it. Because I told my dad about it. He'd never heard of it. I thought he maybe, you know, had seen it on telly at the time or whatever. Mm. But he'd never heard of it. And he was like, oh, this sounds really cool. And we watched it. Even right from pretty much the start when, like, you know, all the stuff's flying about. He was like, God, this is, like, proper making me hair stand on end. And he like, watches all sorts. And two, we don't get freaked out by much. But yeah, watching that was so tense. And it was so, you know, really, really creepy. And then the next morning, I was talking about it. And my mom was there and I mentioned it and she went, oh my God, I remember that. And like, I could just see the look on her face. She hadn't thought about it in years, but apparently her and her friend watched it live at the time and it really, really freaked her out. And she
Thousand yard stare.
Exactly that. And she totally buried the memory. And then I mentioned it. She was like, you gotta remember that. And it was like, it was terrifying. I was like, yeah, it really is terrifying. And my dad was like, I'd never heard of it. And so it was great. The whole thing's just, it's perfect. And the fact that it was on the BBC is still the most...
That's crazy.
It's unbelievable. It's like, it's just one of them things where I thought, ah, it must have been creepy by like British TV standards. Yeah. That's probably why it freaked so many people out. But it really isn't. It is just a terrifying horror film. It's so clever. And it's the fact that it's scarier than Late Night with the Devil, which is, you know, made much more modern with much better special effects. I think Ghostwatch works because it really does look like a 90s TV show that could have just been a real thing.
It's aged incredibly well.
Yeah.
It's still, it is still scary. Like, I first watched it, I was like, okay, it'll be a bit, it'll be a bit scary. It doesn't take, well, it takes a bit to rattle me in terms of horror films.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, it's a film.
Yeah.
But the bit in Ghostwatch, this specific bit got me. Sorry, there were two. You know, in the kitchen, and you can see
him in the reflection.
And in the dark curtain.
Yes, 100%. Any of those appearances, I mean, I was looking through because after I'd watched it, you know when you watch something, you're like, God, like, I feel like I could watch it a million times more and notice more details each time. So I was sat there Googling like every time he appears, and there was a few times I didn't even notice. So like, you know the bit where Craig Charles in this as well, which is also hilarious. But
honestly,
when he's like wandering about chatting to them
and in the crowd.
Pipes is just in the crowd, I didn't notice that, and I was like, oh my god, it's so creepy. Like,
I mean, maybe it's because I picked a great time to watch it, being quite late at night. And this is a little anecdote, I did message yous all about it, saying how like it's, I'm much the same way you, Matthew. It's like it takes like a lot to actually get me. I mean, I used to be scared of everything when I was a kid. Like, you know Sully from Monsters Inc. I was fine with him in the film, right? But when he was like, you know, small teddies of them that you could get of him.
Oh yeah, right.
Shit myself whenever I saw him. Like
oh
honestly,
my God.
Just sometimes I just showed him something. Like, ah! But anyways, but yeah, like it's this thing. I don't know. It's just gave us that sort of. I was turning me back last night when it was like
it's
singing
unsettling,
shit.
Isn't it?
Like,
yeah, it's so creepy. Yeah, it's. I think it is. It's because it's British and it's so relatable to us. I think that made it more creepy because it's just a house on a random estate somewhere. Like that could be like a family friend. That could be anyone you know. It could be your house. You know, it's one of them things where it's just like that sort of primal fear of like, And especially it's when they first meet the family and the like late. Yes. It's really effective when she's like crying. She's like, you know, what have we done to deserve this? It's like, you just genuinely feel sorry for them. And you're like, you know, it's like, well, will they believe them? You want them to believe them. And then it's, and it happens so extremely that they're all like, oh, well, we can't not believe them. Like, look at this. It's unbelievable. So
yeah. And then the bit where it's Michael Parkinson in the studio and there's no music at all. So when he's talking to the, the doctor, I forget her name.
Yeah, she's like the sort of expert. Yeah,
and he's like, oh, I don't believe it at all. And she's like, no, this is real. It's the fact that it's just them two in this big room.
Yeah.
And if it was like a fictional TV presenter, I feel like it wouldn't have been as effective.
Yeah.
But it is Michael Parkinson.
I know, and it's
which is
so
like,
good,
oh, it does feel so much more real. And I think those bits, when they're in the studio, are really underrated as well.
I agree, yeah.
They're quite startling in the sense that you believe it. But Michael Parkinson, he's so hell-bent on being like, this is rubbish.
Yeah.
Yes. And other people telling them this isn't real.
It's the fact that they sneak a lot of details into that as well. So I didn't massively pick up on it, but the more I like thought about it after I'd watched it, you know, when they're getting all the calls and they're saying, oh, they're like experiencing really strange behavior in their kids and their dogs and and they're all brushing it off like, ah, it's just Halloween pranks, nothing to worry about. And then, but then you think about it, it's like, oh, like we don't actually know what's going on in real life at this point. And that's why it works, because if you were watching that, you know, just on your telly in your house and you did think it was real, you could, for all you know, like there could be stuff going on all around the country and it's like, you're next, you know, like it's creepy.
Would it get, if it happened today, right, I don't know who they'd get to like be the presenter, like Holly Willoughby or someone.
I was just about to say, I know, because I was just thinking this, it's a shame they couldn't do this because obviously he's a criminal. But if there was like, if there was a modern version where it was Holly Willoughby and like Philip Schofield, like the sort of this morning present as they were for like 10 years and they just did something like this, it would be just as effective, I think.
I would fall for it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I was thinking, what about like Fiona Bruce for like BBC? Because she does like Question Time and all the stuff like that.
That would be good. Like, Claire Balden as well. Like, I think that would probably be quite effective.
Alan Carr. Wasn't.
Today we've got a call from...
Gonna be investing your ghosts, alright. Oh, I don't believe in ghosts. No.
Do you know what Alan Carr sounds like?
Peter Kay doing this.
But no, it's like, the bit where the phone calls and the guy on the phones, it's the bit when he's like, oh, we've got a lot of phone calls coming in. And one phone call comes through and you can see it in his face, he's rattled.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't like this.
I really wish I'd never done this.
And then like, I don't want to like jump to the end of them immediately, but I want to just mention the ending is phenomenal.
Yeah,
it's so good. It's the fact that when it's the line where she goes, "We've accidentally created a seance."
Yeah,
and I'm like,
it's so good.
And Michael Parkinson's alone in the studio, and
he's like, he's reading the order cue, and
he says again?
It's that, it's round and round the garden like a teddy bear, and then his voice goes all like demonic.
It's Pipes's voice which got me. Like, it was just, it's that sort of just raspy, eerie enough.
It's so creepy, isn't it?
I wish we had cameras in here. Like, oh, then again, I don't because I'm seeing frigging pipes from behind us. But like,
somebody would edit that into the background.
It's like just where he has that like kind of voice. I'm like,
it's when the girl starts talking and she's got the like little demon voice. And I mean that when I you know, you sort of expect that, and it's like a total cliche for these films, but it works so well in this. Like, it's so effective.
It's like, I think how she's really good at acting as well, because her face and her eyes are so wide at that point.
The acting is surprisingly
really good.
Considering it's me, the mom, the daughters, the doctor, the paranormal investigator.
Yeah.
Everyone does so well in each of the roles that you believe it.
You do. And they blend in because it doesn't seem like a load of actors and then three TV hosts. Yeah. It feels like they're all quite believable, like TV guests. It's so convincing. It's so good.
I'm trying to think what other bit. One bit that got me was when the girls, because like, it starts off, it's very slow burn at the start.
Yeah, yeah.
That works. But then it hits you like every 5 minutes with the most horrifying thing ever.
Yeah.
One of the lines that got me is when... the lady, what's her name? The lady in the house.
Oh, I know who you mean.
Yeah. Like the mom, yeah.
Sarah
Green.
Sarah Green.
Yeah.
When she goes to talk to them and she's like, do you think Miss like Pipes is here? Like,
oh, yeah.
And she's like, yeah. And the girl goes, like, looks at dead and she goes, I think he's very nasty. I think he's here to do nasty things.
Oh, I don't it's so creepy.
And you just know he's standing around he's there somewhere. Like,
oh,
you know.
My God.
Well, it's that bit. It's the bit where they, like, do the... It was the first bit that got me towards the start is when they do that scan, like they scan the photo,
yeah.
and they're like, somebody's just called in saying that they can see a dark, ghostly figure in the corner of the room, and they show you, and it's like, oh my God, there, like, there he is, and then Michael Parkinson's, well, it could just be a trick of the eye, it could be a code hanging
Michael
on the back of the door.
I love him. He's the biggest gobshite ever in this film. He's like, that's not a ghost. That's Terry Wogan in the corner.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. It preys on those primal fears because when he says that, and it is just, it's the image of the kids in that, like, childhood bedroom sleeping with a ghost watching them. I have coats hanging on the back of my door.
Yeah.
So when he said that, I was like, stop doing that, man.
Those watches,
so
it's had
creepy.
Like such an effect on me, like the whole thing of when you think you see something.
Yeah, yeah.
We, like, it's a little story involving another one of our lovely hosts, Reese. The other week, me and Reese went out somewhere. And in the corner of a room, I thought I saw a little girl.
Right.
Like, stood there with, like, bright white eyes looking at me.
Yeah.
And I looked, and it was a coat. And then I was thinking, this'll just be me, because ghost watches traumatise me.
Yeah.
I then said to Reese, I went, can you sit here for a second? He went, yeah. I went, look left. And he looked left, and I could see, like, in his eyes, I was like, he sees it too.
Yeah, he sees it.
So it's had such an effect on me, and I've been frightened of... just odd. I've never been scared of the dark, but I've watched Ghost
Watch.
It is that night I'd watched it, I'm terrified.
It's so creepy, and I think, like, ideally I would love for somebody to make, I mean, probably somebody's probably already done this, but if I ever watch it again, I'd like to watch it with the adverts and bumpers still intact, because I think that just makes it even more convincing. Especially, even the credits are scary in this film. The credits run, and it's like that sort of ominous sound of, like, the wind blowing, and you can just, and you know, you just know that something horrible's happened. And then the little bumper comes up next and says, we'd just like to remind you that that was a drama. We've had a lot of calls from people who were absolutely terrified.
It's like the actual background behind it really makes the film as well.
It does,
like,
yeah.
The stories about, you know, the what happened to certain people.
I mean, yeah,
after
it's,
what, that's
horrible, it's tragic,
obviously.
That is sort
but
of
it's the fact
that
it's such, like, a revered piece of lost media now.
Yeah, yeah.
That I feel like if it wasn't, how would I put this? If people weren't talking about it as if, like, oh, you shouldn't be watching this.
Yeah.
It wouldn't get you as much.
No, I agree.
It wouldn't scare me as much.
Yeah, the fact that it had such a profound effect on our country, you know, it's like it was a UK thing on the BBC, which, you know, it's just
I mean, I didn't, because, like, I feel like even as someone who went in knowing full well it was fictional, like, I get why that definitely adds to it, but I do still, I don't want to undersell the fact that I just think it's very well written.
It's really well done. Yeah. No, I agree, because that was what I thought when I was going into it. I thought, oh, it won't be as effective now that, you know, the sort of curtain's been pulled and you know that it's fictional. It is just really well, it's just a really well written film and a really well crafted film. That just so happened to be such a convincing emulation of TV of the 90s that everybody thought it was just another TV show on, you know.
And it was, like, quite inspirational as well. Like, other, like, not as big films. There's a film that I've seen which is very similar to The Ghost Watch. Mm-hmm. It's also got an incredible ending called Without Warning.
Oh, is this the alien?
The alien invasion.
Yeah.
It's like a news, sort of a news piece about an alien invasion, and you're following these different, it's American, these different news readers as these aliens, as these aliens are coming.
Oh, no.
And the ending's great, just like Ghost Watch.
That's it. Well, I mean, you know, it's definitely had a pretty profound effect now that it's not something that's, like, locked away in a vault, you know, that people are allowed to just say, oh, that was a great horror film, rather than, oh, that was that really mysterious thing that freaked me out when I was a kid. It's like, it is good to see it from both perspectives, because we are that, you know, we're from the generation where we've probably seen a few video essays about it, but now actually watching the film, I'm like, oh, it is actually that. It is just that good. It is a really good film as well. So, totally.
It's definitely, it seemed at the time a lot too real, because, like, it's, I don't know if we should put a warning behind this, but, like, there was stories of course, it, like, really affecting people's kids, like, properly. And one boy, I think he committed suicide because of it. I don't know what it might have been, even the same way that they said it was like the hanging of what happened in Ghostwatch, but like somebody did it themselves to like get away from him, which is like
Well, it was because apparently the kid said that he had like rattling pipes in his bedroom, and that freaked him out to begin with, but he was, you know, a little bit already sort of had something wrong, and then watching that, he thought, oh my God, look at that, he's made his way into telly and the whole world can see now, and all that sort of thing.
It is the risk of doing something like that, and I feel like that's why you probably wouldn't see something like that again.
Yeah, oh God, yeah. I wouldn't have thought so.
But yeah, great film.
Well, I think you do see stuff like that again nowadays. It just goes on to Netflix and Amazon Prime with like proper, you know, I mean, obviously not as effective, but like there are similar films like the one we're just about to discuss, but like, you know, it's like,
I don't think any film has done it as effectively.
No, I mean, just as a little quick side note, like there is actually, if you have heard the TV show Inside Number 9,
that's a good point.
They
actually
did a live episode once called Deadline, where it was like, it was the two actors and a couple others who were going into a studio set and they were just going to film a live episode for Halloween. Mm-hmm. But then what it does is it cuts to the BBC Two, there is a problem with this program kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then
so creepy.
It cuts to them sitting in their dressing room, and then Mark Gatiss, like, of course they're not, he's not on it, but he's friends with him. Okay. He says, turn over to BBC Two now, and they're watching themselves on the telly in their dressing room.
Wow.
And just like, obviously all the scary shit sort of happens, but I thought that was really clever. I mean, I didn't watch it live. I'm so sad of that.
Oh, he's so good to watch that.
It still
live,
has
yeah.
all the stuff like that which comes on it, but I thought that was a really good one. So shout out to Steve Pemberton, Rishi.
That is a good point, because Inside Number 9 is a sort of, that's probably one of the closest modern examples. I've not seen much of it, but just in the way of like the BBC trying to tackle slightly more uncanny, creepy stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, that's probably the closest we'll get. But yeah, obviously it's not quite the same thing. Mm-hmm. But it's a weird one. And I think Ghostwatch it's a film that benefits from being, weirdly, it's one of the only films where I'd say it would be worse watched in a cinema, I can't lie.
Yeah.
I think it's the best way to watch it is on like a sort of crappy telly in your room with hardly any light, just, you know, maybe on your own.
Doors locked.
Exactly that, yeah. I mean,
I did that
probably
the best way possible.
You did it exactly.
Except
right.
I couldn't close my door because the hinges broke because I get trapped in.
Is that what it was? It was definitely the hinges. It wasn't like pipes.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if pipes has just cemented himself
pipes
in that
cousin
little lock.
Pipes.
Mr. Hinges.
Mr. Hinges.
I think he's here to do really nasty things.
Is it?
Get the WD-40, man, come on!
Well, it's worse than a figure in the corner of the room. That was Prince Charles, that was Michael Parkinson.
That's just about to say.
Oh, God. Yep. Ghostwatch. Watch. Great film.
Yeah, it's really, really
watch.
Good. Totally.
Ghost.
Watch.
Watch.
As well as Ghostwatch, we watched Late Night with the Devil at Cine Club recently, a film which came under fire for its use of AI. Was anybody here a fan?
That was good.
Yeah, well, not specifically of the AI. So
I will slam AI. I hated it. But the film was great, I gotta say.
Yeah. I was not a fan of the film.
Really?
Ooh.
Fair enough.
No, like, there's parts I liked, but overall, I feel like, you know, it's like, oh, it takes influence from Ghostwatch. It's like, some of the stuff is kind of just feels a bit stolen.
Yeah,
that's like, fair. And also, I don't know, I just felt like it doesn't lean into its... It has, absolutely, like, some interesting ideas, and it just doesn't pull the thread enough. Like, I feel like it leaves... With Ghostwatch, it kind of works that not everything's super explored, because it's supposed to... You're supposed to feel like it's real. Like, obviously, these people aren't going through full arcs because they're real people.
Yeah.
But with these characters, it's like, oh, I feel like there's just more I want from them. And I feel like they're kind of stuck in this format. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain.
No, I know what you mean.
I
think it's less effective because it has more context, because they try to like have the whole, oh, he was actually secretly in a satanic cult and everything. And like, and this demon's come and chosen him, rather than just the generic... It could be any talk show host, you could put any talk show host
like
in the room with a demon, and
can
they
wouldn't
survive.
Can you imagine if they'd done it with like Conan or Graham Norton?
That would be kind of funny.
That would have been
That'd be
great.
Amazing.
I would have watched that.
But I don't know, because like, I like I think the character is quite interesting. Like the bit at the beginning where it's giving you lots of backstory and it's talking about the episode where he has his wife on. And on the one hand, it's this really sweet scene. And then the narration says it was his most watched episode. And it really introduces this interesting idea of like, oh, was that his way of saying goodbye to someone he loved? Or was it like a cheap ratings ploy?
Yeah, that's a fair point, actually.
Was he using her? And I feel like that comes up again throughout the film, like where they've got this girl who was part of this cult. And it's a bit like, oh, they're kind of abusing this girl who's sort of been traumatized and they're kind of just using her for the show.
Yeah.
But I feel like that doesn't work super well because the girl is so stereotypically evil kid from, a horror movie.
She's creepy as hell from the very moment they meet her, which is, you know, you don't really believe it as much.
She's just a creepy kid. And I feel like that's annoying because it kind of allows you to easily ignore the whole, well, are they exploiting her thing?
Yeah.
Because you're like, well, she's evil anyway.
I don't feel bad for her. She's creepy as hell.
Yeah.
And you know, you compare that to Ghost Watch, where the kids in that are so real. They feel like such real kids and they do like some bad stuff sometimes, but they're also like scared.
Yeah, that's true. No, I do agree with that. Because it's like, they have the whole thing with the possession where they're like sort of... like the mentor lady, you know, the one who is who's like sort of got the reins on the demon.
Yeah.
She's all like, oh my God, we can't do that. That's stupid. But then the kid's like, yeah, let's do that. That sounds fun. It's like, you know, it's like, where is in Ghostwatch? They're like, Jesus Christ, get this ghost away from us. Like, absolutely terrifying. You know, so it's like that whole. I know what you mean.
The woman who was reining her in also felt like an underexplored character because she's hypocritical, and I can't tell if the movie realizes how hypocritical she is because obviously she keeps being like, oh, I want to look after the girl, but it's like you're the one who brought her on TV.
You brought her on TV,
place.
And you also wrote like a New York Times bestseller about your experience with her that you're here to plug. Like, if your priority is making sure she's safe, like just keep her out of the spotlight, you know, just hide her in a psych ward. Yeah. Don't like have her like on TV and in books and like on the news and stuff, you know, it's just not
and
quite
I just,
the same.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting idea, but I wish it was explored a little more instead of just a lot of creepy scenes for creepiness sake.
I mean, I liked, I think the first half, it was when they start introducing it, all the characters, I was like, okay, this is cool. Like, the intro you mentioned, I really like that.
I do.
Yes.
Really,
really well done.
As well,
I was like, this is quite cool. I think it was the exact moment I lost interest. Was when the Orson Welles type is doing the
the psychic thing on the little
on the guy
sidekick.
Then I was like, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And then I lost interest fully when lightning starts flying out the walls. And I think it starts off, it's got a really interesting premise. I wanted to watch it for ages, but like you said, it doesn't lean into it enough, and then it kind of shifts genres. It goes from like sort of creative, oh, this is interesting, to just
generic horror.
That was my issue.
I know what you mean, and I do think that is an issue. I think it escalates it so much where it is a bit like, I don't know, I'm mixed on that actually, because I do sort of agree with you, but at the same time, there are some really effective moments even when it starts getting to that point. So I remember, you know, it didn't freak me out as much as Ghostwatch, but it did really freak me out that bit where they're, you know, where they're running the tape back and there's like that one frame where his like wife is behind him.
Right.
You know, there's like that, and she's like your hand on her shoulder, and then they're looking, and then he like looks behind, she's not there, but she is there in one shot. And I was like, it happens really quickly, and I was like, oh, that's really like, that freaked me out. But it was like, but then because like you say, from that seconds later, it's like, oh, zap, zap, and the girl's flying and her head's ripped open, and it's like all a bit, you know, it's a bit more in your face.
I mean, I think it uses like too many effects. Like I get, like I don't have a problem with cheaper movies looking a bit fake. But like, I don't know. It's just like, at times it's like, you didn't really need to do that. Like, where it's like, they'll be showing electricity when something's going wrong. And it's like, well, you didn't really, that's not what
you're just inviting
that looks
yourself
like in real life.
To be
you
criticized
just,
at that point.
It looked like they'd spent a bit of budget and then they were like, we've got a bit of money left. Lightning,
yeah.
We'll do that.
Yeah.
A bit. And they're like, let's do that. But that bit where all the lightning's shooting out, the one bit I do like about that scene is how quickly and casual they kill off some of the characters.
Yeah,
it's not done really cinematically.
Yeah,
right. It's just like snap of the finger, you're like, okay, wow. Yeah, this took a turn. Yeah.
It's like suddenly like they're all dead. And then I do quite like the comeuppance that the the hypnotist gets where he's like begging for his life and start trying to give her the $1,000 that he promised. Like it's funny, but it's like, you know, because it's just kind of
writing the check.
Yeah, he's writing the check as she's like floating in front of him, head ripped open, like spirits flying about. Yeah.
I quite like him.
He was interesting. I think the ending as well.
I think it goes a bit too far, it's not as effective. Like, I wish it just stopped. Like, you know, it kind of as it gets to a point where it like I say, it's too much context. It starts trying to link it all back to the creepy cult in the hills and the dead wife and everything. It'd be better if she just freaked out, killed everyone, cut.
Yeah,
like that was it.
Yeah,
you know,
or even if it was at first I was like, I thought it was going to be like he's stuck in a loop and he's always in the show forever. And I was like, I kind of like that idea. But then it cuts to, but then he kills his wife. It's like, I get what they're going for there. But like, and then it's just him alone in the studio. And I was like, that's literally fucking Ghostwatch.
Yeah,
I've seen that before.
Try to pull a Silent Hill 2
It would have been the best
ending
ever if when he's alone in the studio, you hear footsteps and Michael Parker's in the corner. Hanging around the garden. Teddy bear.
Michael Parkinson comes in and tackles him. Great fights of the death.
Parkinson's possessed.
That would have been great.
if it ended like a time loop, that would have been really cool. That I would have loved that ending.
Michael Parkinson, it's like an MCU post scene. Michael Parkinson will return.
Michael Parkinson comes out one portal.
It's like Adam Warlock. That's what they should have spent the budget on. Well, actually, no. They could have spent the budget on getting some proper artists instead of using AI.
Transition.
You're listening. Exactly. I forgot what the directors were called. But if you're listening, do that in your next
don't
one.
Don't do that
please.
Shit again. That's a stupid idea.
No AI.
Now, I'm like, you know, stupid. So I didn't at what exact point was I know it was used for like the cutaway bits.
It's the cutaways
for it's just that. Cutaways.
I think so, yeah. Which is, you know, it's dodgy.
Yeah, that's stupid.
It's really stupid because it is something that they could have very easily just paid money for.
Get an artist, you can
but
pay
no,
them, they
lightning.
Get exposure.
Exactly. Like
lightning
one thing I mean,
heads off.
I'll give them credit, like credit where credit is due. I do like the fact that I think David Dusmalchian's really good in
he's
it.
He's really
and
really
I think the fact that he's like, because it would have probably just been another random low budget indie film, but he really carries it and he's quite well known. And I like the fact that it was like, he finally gets like a leading role because he's like, he's one of those actors who's like in so much and you see him and he's all, and you're always like, oh, he's cool. Like, and then this is it. Like, he's actually, and he's really good in it.
I think
like,
that's why it's like a bit of a shame and a bit of a letdown because it's got a great premise. You've got a lead who's really passionate about horror films.
Totally, yeah.
And then it's just certain things have let it down. It's still good, don't get me wrong. I still quite enjoyed it. But I'd never watch it again.
Really? I mean, I'd probably watch it as like one of those sort of Halloween background films for like a bit of the vibes because it's got that.
Mm.
But even then, that's what I mean. It's like that Ghostwatch did that first and they did it for real. Like they did it actually on Halloween night, like on TV and did it better. Whereas this is like, you know, I mean, well, that's another thing actually. Credit to this. It is quite, it convincingly does the 70s TV thing.
It does.
It does that really well as well. And I mean, you know, some of it, it's quite obvious that it's like, let's put a grain filter on this. let's put a little, we'll be right back and all of that kind of thing.
It does do the
like,
70s but, thing quite well, I think. He's but got I do like think, a real Dick Cavett sort of vibe to him.
He does, and I think, me and my dad were talking about this as well, because this anime was semi-unrelated to the to the film, but when we're watching it, we're like, what is it with that thing with like American like talk shows where they always have the little weird sidekick, because like they have they have that in this film very effectively with that sort of little Bob Hoskins Mario looking guy and he's kind of like, you know, he's there and he's like, but that is a real thing that they do have an actual American.
Conan's
like,
still going, hasn't he?
Does he's he? I don't know, like it's just weird though, isn't it? Like I can't imagine that, like a sort of, I'm trying, what's the big talk show over here? Graham Norton. Like,
Graham Norton's got a little mate in the corner.
Yeah,
like,
Graham
who's
Norton.
He?
Exactly that. It would be so weird.
God.
But yeah, I do think it sells the vibe quite well. And it does. I mean, I'm a bit mixed on the like behind the scenes things? Because I know.
I thought it took us out of it. Really.
Do you reckon the whole black and white behind?
Yeah, like, I thought. I wish it would just work like it was. Like it was a found footage tape where you didn't say anything about. Like I felt like, okay, yes, there may be some character development kind of stuff going on here or just exploring stuff. But when there was like pointless bits where it's like, oh, you know that magician fella we held, or the, it was it the psychic guy, no, the
Chris
the guy at the start.
Yeah, yeah, who dies in the ambulance.
It's like where it's like, oh, he's dead. And it's like, yeah, I think we probably could have figured that out on our own.
I quite like that bit. It's like, it's quite normal up to that point, apart from the guy's like screaming. And then he's like, that's weird. And then he's like, right, we're going to go open the show. And someone's like, he's dead, you know? And you're like,
yeah.
Oh, shit.
Well, I do quite like that because I think it builds on the whole, it makes the like opening spiel a bit more justified as well, because then you get to see how he's like sweating it and why he's doing everything, because it's like he's desperate for ratings and this is like his last chance to not get cancelled. And it's like, because I know it's like it would be more effective if it was found footage, but at the same time you're going in, you know, it's not actually found footage.
Yeah.
Like it's sort of a suspension of disbelief where it's like they tell you it's found footage, but it's like, yeah, but it's not though, isn't it? Like, I know it's not, so I don't really mind if they break away from it. Yeah. But it's like, you know, it's
I would have thought it would have been better to do if they maybe had. I know it was like it was supposed to be set in the '70s, but they obviously still had like just the big sort of the big portable cameras you could lug around. But like, if they had just like one of them and that kind of style in the side,
I would have
instead of it being black and white, because like this was also the time when black and white was sort of being a lot less used.
Yeah,
I felt
like
if it was something in the 40s or something, like, or even just the 60s, just the decade behind.
I mean,
like,
yeah,
it
I was
going to
say. I mean, a lot of people still had black and white TVs in the 70s, I think. But,
I guess so.
But I know what you mean.
Probably more so over here.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely more so over here. I'm pretty sure there was an ITV station that didn't, like, get colour until, like, the end of the 70s.
Like Granada. It's like
probably, yeah.
Being run in, like, a potato cut to wires.
Anyway,
microwave. I think it really does build on. Because it's been quite a recent emergence recently, you know, like, what's it called?
Like, the sort
analog
of analog horror. Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I used to like that until people started making, like, hey, let's do this, let's do, like,
it's a bit too, I think it can get a bit too silly.
It's become too much now, and the parodies of it are quite funny.
Yeah.
But this, does it, there's part of this that does that quite well.
It does it quite tastefully, I think.
Level.
Yeah, like,
it's, I think.
It is quite effective. You were going to say something there, BB, also, sorry, I keep cutting you off. I can't remember what it was.
Well, neither can I, though.
Something about late night with the devil. Anyway, but yeah. No, I know what you mean. I think it's like, it's very trendy, and I think it plays on that a bit, but it's like, yeah, it's not too far. It's not too silly. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's one of those things. It is quite a funny thing, though, isn't it? Because like, I feel like the reason why this has come out now and why Ghostwatch is still quite popular is because that kind of thing has got, it's that nostalgic horror thing where it's like, oh, it's like all this creepy stuff from these forgotten TV shows that you can't find anymore. And like, you know, all that kind of thing.
That,
but
I'm sorry, that I don't know why that got me. What, you were talking, the lights start flickering. I don't like that. Oh, God.
Mr. Lights.
if we're not on the, sorry, if we're not on the podcast in a while, then you'll probably understand. But we'll get back from the other side.
Nah, I was going to say. Podcasting from beyond, that would be absolutely brilliant. But I think that sort of covers everything about Late Night with the Devil for me. I mean, I don't know if there's anything else you guys wanted to say.
Not really. No,
I think it's like, I like it. I don't, you know, it's I like it a lot less since I watched Ghostwatch, like, because I watched that Late Night with the Devil like a year ago and I thought, oh, this is awesome, like, I really like this. And also, to be fair, like, I'll give it its flowers, it's an original horror concept. It's not another sequel and remake, which is, you know, it's good.
That's fair.
It's not not more Blumhouse slop. Yeah. It's like something slightly different. It's just a shame that it completely tanked its own reputation by using AI. Like, they really shot themselves in the foot with that, because it would have been, I think it would have been really popular and had its own little cult following, a little reputation, had they not done that. But now it is just known as that AI horror film that, and it doesn't, you know, and it doesn't even use it that much, but because that became the reputation, now that's everybody thinks that they used it loads in the film. And that's what I mean, they just proper fuck themselves. It's really stupid. But yeah.
Well, I think that's all we have time for today. We'd all like to get out before Pipes finds a way into the studio. We now raise the question to you. Which film do you think is better and why? As well as this, do you have any frightening stories of seeing Ghostwatch when it premiered in 1992? We'd love to hear from you. To get in touch with us, just email us at cineclub.podcast@sparksunderland.com.
As well as this, you can find us on social media. Just search for @thecineclubpodcast_spark on Instagram or @the.cineclub.podcast on TikTok and the Cineclub Podcast on Facebook. It's a great way to keep up to date with the podcast and what we have coming up.
This episode, as always, was edited by Emily Main. A special thanks goes out to Barbara Sadler, Richard Berry, and Steve Cannon. Just a reminder that our four ghost watches this week have consisted of me, Beebe.
Me, Connell.
Me, Jake.
And me, Matthew. This has been a Cineclub production for Spark. Thanks for listening.